following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hi everyone, this is Jeremy Soule, and you're listening to Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
And we're everyone else.
We're everybody.
Hi. Everybody on the earth.
This is the network.
Yeah, in fact, we're not even going to have everybody say their names right now. We're going to get to that in time. We're all gathered here around a roaring fire, which I hope you can hear. I'll put the mic dangerously close to the flames. Briggs is cooking some chicken atop the fire, and we're going to do the Eye of Argon challenge. This was given to us as a microsode by Cassie Muldrow, who said, My friends and I were discussing how something terrible can actually go beyond the negative scale and become awesome again. Amidst this discussion, a friend mentioned a little gem called the Eye of Argon. It's a Conan the Barbarian-style adventure written in 1970, a short story that was so abysmal it spent the 70s and 80s being mocked by geeks everywhere. I immediately had to check it out, and it's bad, man. It's very bad. For example, a wench's nose is described as being lithe and opaque. Oy. Whilst reading through its wiki, I saw there's actually a drinking game, and there's an airplane. As you can tell, we are outside. There's a drinking game built around the premise of reading it out loud, mistakes and all, straight-faced. He or she who laughs drinks. I would absolutely love for the Nerdy Show crew to get together and play this game. There's a Grandmaster challenge to do it in squeaky helium-filled voices, but with the crew's penchant for dramatics and characterization, I believe it will already be more difficult than any other previous effort. I look forward to hearing your interpretation of this classically awful tale. Thanks so much. So, Cassie, we're here gathered around a fire, and we are going to do the Eye of Argon challenge.
Ooh.
The rules actually are surprisingly similar to the rules used by Friday Night Fanfiction. It's a good time for it since they're currently in their mid-season break. They recently completed the indomitable Sonic in the Search for Love.
Oh, God.
One of the worst fanfics of all time in a 7-part marathon reading.
Oh, wow.
I was present for several of those. I'm still recovering.
It was pretty bad, and so they need a whole month of downtime to recover. They're going to be back recording Season 2 Monday, February 23rd. There's some chicken being cooked here. There's some marshmallows. I'm going to open this by reading the transcriber's note, which I think is very telling of this entire experience. The Eye of Argon by Jim Thies, first published in the fanzine OzFan No. 10 in 1970. No mere transcription can give the true flavor of the original printing of The Eye of Argon. It was mimeographed with stencils cut out on an elite manual typewriter. Many letters were so faint as to be barely readable, others were overstuck, and some that were to be removed never got painted out with correction fluid. Usually, only one space separated sentences, while paragraphs were separated by a blank line and were indented 10 spaces. Many words were grotesquely hyphenated, and there were illustrations. I cannot do them justice in mere words, but they were a match for the text. Otherwise, all effort has been made to retain the full and correct text, preserving even misspellings and drop spaces. An excellent proofreader has checked for errors both omitted and committed. What mismatches remain are mine. I shall endeavor to keep a copy of the original available for viewing so it may be appreciated in all of its fullness, but as a labor of love for those whose third-generation copies have now succumbed to the bitter vicissitudes of time and entropy, worn away by the ravages of countless rereadings before enthralled audiences, yet who have fought that the heady flavor of its stylistic paragraphs have seeped into their soul and still grips it with a fervid grasp, I dedicate this machine-readable version of the indomitable The Eye of Argon. And it begins with you, Doug.
This is Doug. I'm gonna try and kick this off. Here we go. This is all new to me. It's cold reading. The weather-beaten trail wound ahead into the dust-wreckled climes of barren land which dominates large portions of the Norgolian Empire. Age-worn hoofprints, smothered by the sifting sands of time, shone dully against the dust-splattered crust of the earth. The tireless sun cast its parching rays of incandescence from overhead, halfway through its daily revolution.
Drink, laugh, drink.
I didn't laugh, I sighed.
Not you.
Small rodents scampered about, occupying themselves in the daily accomplishments of their dismal lives. Dust sprayed over three heaving mounds in blinding clouds while they bore the burdensome cargoes of their struggling overseers. "Prepare to embrace your creators in the Stygian haunts of hell, barbarian!" gasped the first soldier. "Only after you have kissed the fleeting steed of death, wretch," returned Gringer. A sweeping blade of flashing steel revived from the massive barbarian's hide enameled shield as his rippling right arm thrust forth.
His arm rippled?
Sending a steel-shod blade to the hilt into the soldier's vital organs. The disemboweled mercenary crumpled from his saddle and sank into the clouded sward, sprinkling the parched dust with crimson droplets of escaping life fluid.
That's like four of you.
And he actually, it was actually spelled sward.
Yeah. The enthused barbarian swiveled about, his shock of fiery red hair tossing robustly in the humid air currents as he faced the attack of the defeated soldier's fellow in arms.
Humid air currents.
Damn you, barbarian! Shrieked the soldier as he observed his comrade in death.
Wow.
I'll pass it on now.
These are such beautiful sentences. They're so preposterous.
This is Tony of Trench and Tony, art dude, and occasional person on Friday Night Fanfiction. Here we go. A gleaming scimitar smote a heavy blow against the renegade's spiked helmet, bringing a heavy cloud over the accordion's misting brain. Shaking off the effects of the pounding blow to his head, Grigner brought down his scarlet-streaked edge against the soldier's crudely forged hauberk, clanging harmlessly to the left side of his opponent. Wait a minute, wasn't there a request for really high-pitched stuff?
The soldier stabbed whinnied as he directed the horse back from the driving blade of the barbarian.
I don't think these are words anymore.
They weren't words to begin with.
Grigner leashed his mount forward as the hoarsely piercing battle cry of his wilderness-bred race resounded from his grinding lungs.
A twirling blade bounced harmlessly from the mighty thief's buckler as his rolling right arm cleft upward, Okay, I jumped back up, sorry. Harmlessly from the thief's buckler, was earlier, sending a foot of binding steel, there we go, ripping through the Cimmerarian's exposed gullet. A gasping gurgle from the soldier's writhing mouth as he tumbled to the golden sand at his feet and wormed agonizingly in his deathbed. Grigner's emerald green orbs glared lustfully at the wallowing soldier struggling before his chestnut-swirled mount. So apparently this has gotten porny. His scowling voice reverberated over the dying form in a tone of mocking mirth. You city-bred dog should learn not to antagonize your better. Reining his weary mount...
What have we here?
Well, well, well. If that isn't Han fucking Solo. Reining his weary mount ahead, Grigner resumed his journey to the Noragolian city of Gorzam, hoping to discover wine, women, and adventure, oh baby, to boil the wild blood coursing through his savage veins. Snaps, ladies and gentlemen, snaps!
Beautiful.
How can I possibly follow this up? Jesus!
You're not Jesus!
Only Jesus for tonight! Only for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's one time performance. And Nina with Ghostbusters. The trek to Gorzam was forced upon Gringer when soldiers of Kryn were leashed upon him by a faithless concubine he had wooed. His scandalous activities throughout the Cimmerian city had unleashed throngs of havoc and uproar among its refined patricians, leading them to tack a heavy reward over his head. He had barely managed to escape through the back entrance of the inn he had been guzzling in as a squad of soldiers pounced upon him. After spilling a spout of blood from the leader of the mercenaries as he dismembered one of the officer's arms, he retreated to his mount. Excuse me. Yes, that's... Seriously, that's how it's written here. He retreated to his mount to make his way towards Gorzum, rumored to contain hordes of plunder and many young wenches for any man who has the backbone to wrest them away. Should I read on? Chapter 2. Arriving after dusk in Gorzum, Ginger descended down... I don't know how to read it. Gringer, I'm sorry, descended down a dismal alley, reining his horse before a beaten tavern. The red-haired giant strode into the dimly lit hostelry, reeking of foul odors and cheap wine. The air was heavy with choking fumes spewing from smoldering torches encased with... Theedons? Packed walls. Tables were clustered with groups of drunken thieves and cutthroats, tossing dice or making love to willing prostitutes.
You have my attention.
Beautiful.
Should I go on? Just this one paragraph. Eyeing a slender female crouched alone at a nearby bench, Gringer advanced, wishing to wholesomely occupy his time. The flickering torches cast weird shafts of luminescence. Of luminescence dancing.
Take a walk.
Of luminescence dancing over the half-naked harlot of his choice. Her stringy orchids. Twines of hair swaying gracefully over the lithe, opaque nose as she raised half a drained mug to her pale red lips.
Hi, I'm Arceus. Some of you know who I am.
Yeah. And the rest of you do now.
The rest speak of my legends.
Glancing upwards, the alluring complexion noted the stalwart giant as he rapidly approached. A faint glimmer sparked from the pair of deep blue ovals of the amorous female as she motioned towards Gringner, enticing him to join her. The barbarian seated himself upon a stool at the winch's side, exposing his body, naked save for a loincloth brandishing a long steel broadsword, an iron spiraled battle helmet, and a thick leather sandals to her unobstructed view.
That's your Ricardio voice.
Oh my.
Thou hast need to occupy your time, barbarian, questioned the female. There's a question mark there.
I don't know if it was the female or the innkeeper.
It's like he's a different species.
Or something. It's like, I would like to see the female.
Is that what they call the female?
Only if something worth offering is within my reach, stated Grigner, as his hands crept to embrace the tempting female, who welcomed them with open willingness. From where do you come, barbarian, and by what are you called? Gasped the complying wench, as Gringer smothered her lips with the blazing touch of his flaming mouth.
Wow! That's amazing!
Briggs, did you write this?
I'm a much better.
Does that mean he's got herpes?
Can you get herpes while writing?
He's got fire-type herpes.
Fire-type herpes.
Yeah, was it Charmander? Yeah. Thanks for the Charmander.
Squirtle. The engrossed titan ignored the queries of the inquisitive female, pulling her towards him and crushing her sagging nipples to his yearning chest.
That went 0 to 80.
Without struggle, she gave in, winding her soft arms around the harshly bronze hide of Grignir, corded shoulder blades as the calloused hands caressed her firm protruding busts.
Whoa! Firm protruding busts. Fourth with sagging nipples.
This is like, no, this
I'm
is
picturing
like,
this now as two like...
One goes one way, the other goes the other.
It's gotta be just like portraits from the shoulders up.
I don't know, the way I see it, she's got great boobs and you get to nipple and it's just a mess.
No,
it's just a complete
it's
mess.
It's a post-apocalyptic Total Recall on Mars. That's where we are.
You know what, let's just go with all of it because that's what it sounds like right now.
Botched boob job.
Just the nipples.
Just the nipple.
Just the nipple.
Everything else is
like,
great.
You know, like when they zoom in really detailed on Ren and Stimpy, and it's really gross. Yeah.
Zooming on the nipple, it's like hairs and like. It's essentially.
These nipples. Josh, how's it go with these hands, but these nipples?
You make love well, Winch, admitted Grigner.
Nope.
Drink.
God damn it.
A lot of wenches.
It's the same one.
Oh, shit.
Right. A willing prostitute.
You make love well, Winch, admitted Grigner as he reached for the vessel of potent wine his charge had been quaffing. A flying foot caught the mug Grigner had taken hold of, sending its blood-red contents sloshing over the flickering crescent, leashing tongues of bright orange flame to the foot-trodden floor.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
Who in the what? The what now?
Why are there so many...
So are we doing characters, or should I just be me?
You gotta... Whatever you feel in your heart.
Whatever I feel in... What... Do you think Towley should read this, or...
I sure do!
I'm Towley! What are we doing with this, again?
You gotta read it, and then... Drink if you laugh.
Oh, can I get high instead of drinking?
Sure. Smoke if you got them.
That's good, because I'm going to get a little high. Remove yourself, Syria. The wench belongs to me. Blabbered a drunken soldier, too far consumed by the influences of his virile brew to take note of the superior size of his adversary. Gringer!
We gotta win.
Does everybody gotta get high now? I only brought enough for me, man. I thought I was gonna hit somebody else up. Gringer lithely bounded from the startled female. His face lit up to an ashen red full of ferocity and eyes locked in a searing feral blaze toward the swaying soldier. Don't forget to bring a towel, you braggart! Oh, wait, it says to hell with you, braggart! Bellowed an anchored accordion. His name is Accordion?
He's not even making that up.
I think whoever wrote this was a little bit more high than I am right now. As he hefted his finely honed broadsword, the staggering soldier clumsily reached toward the pommel of his dangling sword. But before his hands ever even touched the oaken hilt, a silvered flash was slicing through the heavy air. The thews of the savage's lashing right arm bulged as the glistening bronzed hide as his blade bit deeply into the soldier's neck, lopping off the confused head of this senseless tormentor.
Is this still the sex scene?
I don't know, Rick.
I mean, they're moving pretty fast considering the air's heavy.
So sensual. Sensual.
Rippling bicep.
Dangling swords.
Dangling.
And sagging nipples.
The pommel of the dangling sword. Isn't that how barbarians say ejaculate? They rip off the head?
I didn't see everybody getting high. With a nauseating thud, the severed opal toppled to the floor as a segregated torso of Gringer's bovine antagonist swayed, then collapsed into a pool of swirled crimson.
That explains the double bust.
And why it was named Accordion. The person's name.
The nipples were hanging.
It was a cow.
I think they're going to need a towel for this pool of swirled crimson. Hopefully they didn't forget to bring one. I'm kind of bored of this. I'm gonna pass it off to somebody else.
Bye, Tally.
Bye.
By the way, Tally.
Yeah?
You're the worst character ever.
I know.
Hello, this is Jared from Flame On, but I have my good friend Benjamin Pickle here, if anyone would...
B-Pick!
It's a pleasure to be here this evening, and we're reading excerpts from The Eye of Argon. In the confusion, the soldiers' fellows confronted Gringer with unsheathed cutlasses directed toward the latter's scowling makeup. The slut should have picked his quarry more carefully, roared the victor in a mocking baritone growl. As he wiped his dripping blade on the prostrate form and returned it to its scabbard. The fool should have shown more prudence. However, you shall rue your actions while rotting in the pits. Stated one of the sprawled soldiers' comrades.
This actually isn't terrible now.
Gringer's hand began to remove his blade from his leather housing, but retarded the motion in the face of the blades waving before his face. Dismiss your hand from the hilt, barbarian, or you shall find a foot of steel sheathed in your gizzard.
Wait, humans have gizzards?
Yes.
He's
Ben,
a chicken.
Yeah, so Ben...
So what this is a fan fiction of Cow and Chicken?
Yeah, the one episode where they were barbarians. Yeah.
Now, guys, Ben had to leave, so I'm going to have a necromancer come by here and bring Mako back from the dead.
Gringa weighed his position, observing his parite. Whereupon he took the soldier's advice as the only logical choice.
I don't remember this part of Avatar.
To attempt to hack his way from his present predicament could only warrant certain death. He was of no mind to bring upon his own demise if an alternate path presented itself. The will to necessitate his life forced him to yield to the superior force in hopes of a moment of carelessness later upon the part of his captors in which he could effect a more plausible means of escape.
More plausible than what?
You may steady your arms. I will go without a struggle. Your decision is a wise one, yet perhaps you would have been better off had you forced death. The soldier's mouth wrinkled to a sadistic grin of knowing mirth as he prodded his prisoner on his sword point.
I might be the worst character ever, but at least I'm not racist.
Oh, no, hello, this is VMAC.
Yay, it's VMAC.
Hello, I heard you had barbarians. I wonder, I know barbarians. So what is going on here? After an indiscriminate period of marching through slinking alleyways and moonlighted streets. It's moonlighted. This is not VMAC with bad pronunciation.
For a change.
For the change. The procession confronted a massive Sir Aglio. The palace area was surrounded by an iron grating with a lush garden upon all sides. Ooh. The group was admitted through the gilded gateway with Gringer, led along is one word, a stone pathway bordered by plush vegetation, lustfully enhanced by the moon's shimmering rays.
So plush.
Yeah, man, I see you being a
so plush.
I
want to
fuck the landscape.
It's better than a cow.
Yeah. We're just going to put does anybody have a boner right now?
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
Boner.
Lots of dendros out tonight.
I'm not having heard anything just yet. But... I mean, I'm always down.
Upon reaching the palace, the group was granted entrance, and after several minutes of explanation, led through several winding corridors to a richly draped chamber. Ooh. Confronting the group was a short, stocky man, seated upon a is one word, golden throne. Tapestries of richly draped regal blue silk covered all walls of the chamber, while the steps leading to the throne were plated with sparkling white ivory. Ivory sparkles? The man upon the throne had a naked wench seated at each of his arms, and a trusted advisor seated in back of him.
So he was sitting on the advisor.
Apparently.
Well, it's, he's also in it, obviously.
That's a good time right there. That was a good time.
At each corner of the chamber, a guard stood at attention, with upraised pikes supported in their hands. Golden chainmail adorning their torsos with an apostrophe, and barred helmets emitting scar. barred helmets emitting scarlet plumes enshrouding their heads. The man rose from his chamber, the wench is apparently dropping, to the dais surrounding it. His plush turquoise robe dangled loosely from his chunky frame. Ooh.
Campbell's chunky soup.
The soldiers surrounding Grignr fell to their knees with heads bowed to the stone masonry of the floor in fearful dignity of their sovereign liege. Explain the purpose of this intrusion upon my chateau.
He's French now. Okay.
Your serenity spelled with an S-I-R, resplendent in noble grandeur. We have, it's Sir and Serenity. They're being formal. We have brought this yokel before you. Parenthetically, the soldier gestured towards Grignr. For the redness, redress? For redress. Oh, thank you. For the redress of your all-knowing wisdom in judgment regarding his fate. Down on your knees, lout, and pay proper homage to your sovereign, commanded the pudgy noble of Grignr. By the surly beard of Mrific? M-R-I-F-K, Mrific.
That's Mr. Ific.
By the surly beard of Mr. Ific, Grignr kneels to no man, scowled the massive barbarian. You dare to deal this blasphemous act to me? You are indeed brave, stranger, yet your valor smacks of foolishness. This is last. I find you to be the only fool sitting upon your pompous throne, enhancing the rolling flabs of your belly in the midst of your elaborate luxury and one word. The soldier standing at Grignr's side smote him heavily in the face with the flat of his sword, cutting short the harsh words and knocking his battered helmet to the masonry with an echo hyphen ing clang.
Beautiful.
Briggs. Oh, it's
so okay. I'm that Briggs guy from GBR, Ghostbusters Resurrection.
Oh, that's what it stands for.
Shut up. All right, I'm doing this as Briggs, reading as Briggs.
It's Briggsception!
Wow. Yo, dog.
All right.
Yo, dog.
Okay.
I heard you like Briggs.
I'm sorry.
Look, everyone loves Briggs. Let's just be honest.
If he could, he would put a Briggs in Briggs.
I would. Actually, how do you know I have it?
That sounds like the next material this author can write.
I mean, I'm in. I'm in.
Literally, you're
literally
in.
Yeah.
Gonna be there?
The paunchy noble, sagging round face, flushed suddenly pale, then pastily lit upon the lustrous cherry red radiance. His lips trembled with malicious rage while emitting a muffled sibilant. What is that?
Sibilant.
Sibilant. Thank you. Sibilant. Thank you. I know.
Sibilant.
Sibilant gibberish. His sagging flabs roll like a tub of upset jelly.
The lost verse of the Christmas poem.
Yes. Then compressed as he sucked on his gut.
Sucked on his gut.
No, it said, okay, it's in. I read that as on because of what's going on.
I like the way you read it better.
Okay, it's on now. He sucked on his gut. Sucked on his gut in an attempt to conceal his softness.
He's really flexible.
The prince regained his statue. Yeah, it says statue? Statue. Yeah, it says statue.
Now we got a missing statue?
Then spoke to the soldiers surrounding Grignr. What's a Grignr?
The barbarian.
Oh, that's that guy.
No
okay.
One listening.
His face conforming to an ugly expression of sadistic humor. Take this uncouth heathen to the vault of misery and be sure that his agonies are long and drawn out before death can release him.
Multiple. All the agonies.
As you wish, sire, your command shall be heeded immediately. Answered the soldier on the right of Grignr as he stared into the barbarian's seemingly unaffected face. The advisor seated back of the noble slowly rose and advanced to the side of his master. Motioning the wenches seated at his sides to remove themselves, he lowered his head and whispered to the noble, Eminence, the punishment you have decreed will cause much misery to the scum, yet will it last only a short time. Then release him to the land beyond the sufferings of the human body. Why not mellow him in one of the subterranean vaults for a few days?
We don't want to get too worked up while he's experiencing that.
And then send him for life labor at one of your buried mines. To one such as he, a life spent in confinement in the Stygian pits will be infinitely more appropriate in lasting torture. Wow, this is amazing. The noble equipped his drooping double chin. Oh, cupped.
Double chin.
Okay, it's cupped, but I read it as equipped,
he's
apparently.
He's accidentally editing this.
Plus two to chin.
Okay, it's equipped now instead of cupped. Okay. The noble equipped his drooping double chin to the folds of his brimmy palm. Brimming?
Brimming with what?
I don't know. Meditating for a moment upon the rationality of his counselor's word, then raised his shagging brown eyebrows and turned towards the advisor's eyes aglow.
Oh my.
Wow. As always, Agafin.
Do this in a voice.
As always, Agafin.
Yes. Okay, never mind.
I can't do voices.
Pretend you're pooping really hard.
All right, okay. I can't do voices. I am just Briggs, because Briggs is everyone.
I'm so glad that's not true.
There's a little bit of Briggs in all of us.
There is.
Because he pissed on the chicken.
It's really good, by the way. I recommend everyone eats my pissed chicken.
Pishkin!
Pishkin! Brandon, I like you again.
Brandon, call me Snake Pishkin for nothing.
Brandon. Brandon, I suddenly like you again.
You'll change your mind later.
Then I'll punch you. As always, Agafin Dimelin Dindin, I don't know what your name is. You speak with great wisdom. Your words ring of great knowledge in concerning the nature of one such as he, saith the king. The noble turned toward the prisoner. With noticeable shimmer reflecting from his frog-like eyes. Why are his eyes always changing? His lips contorting to a greasy grin. I've decided to void my...
Hypnotoad.
Yes, thank you. Oh, God. I've decided to void my previous decree. The prisoner shall be removed to one of the palace's underground vaults. He shall stay until I've had decided that he has sufficiently simmered.
I just love how you read that.
Simmer to boil.
I think that's a good passing point.
Is this the mellow or simmer? Get it right.
Okay, so it says here, put the barbarian in the pit and put it to simmer.
Simmer. Careful not that. To turn up the heat too high. You don't want to burn the barbarian. 15 minutes per pound.
On top of rice, side of veggies.
You will simmer in a stew of pure misfortune.
This is a barbarian. You don't serve it with vegetables, but a lot of red wine.
Put them in a pizza roll.
Is this thing we're cooking almost done? I've got a bad case of the munchies.
Whereupon, he is allowed to spend the remainder of his days at labor in one of my mines. Why would he wait?
We didn't write it, Adam.
Hi, I'm Danica from Nerdy Show. Hi. Question mark.
Liar.
Upon hearing this... Danica hit Briggs in the face.
Level up.
Grignr realized that his fate would be far less merciful than death to one such as he, who is used to roaming the countryside at will. A life of confinement would be more than his body and mind could stand up to. This type of life would be immeasurably worse than death. I shall never understand the ways of your twisted civilization. I simply defend my honor and am condemned to life confinement by a pig who sits on his royal ass... wooing whores, and knows nothing of the affairs of the land he imagines to rule?
Is that one sentence?
Yes.
Wait. Wait. Lectures Grignr? Question mark.
Is this just Animal Farm?
Enough of this. Away with the slut before I lose my control.
What did I say?
Cool just took a walk.
Well, I said away with playing the slut.
For those of you playing at home, Pool just actually lost a game that had no losing.
And, oh, wait.
And he's still wanted inside,
to be drinking.
And he's still choking.
And he's down.
And he's back. And now he's and now he's in the fridge getting another beer.
I'm gonna go see
all right. He's actually crying right now in the fridge.
Seeing the peril of his position, Grigner searched for an opening. Crushing Prudence to the... What the fuck does that mean? Crushing Prudence to the sword. I can't even guess as to what that...
Sword! You know, the sword! It's what you skewer the scallywags on, and the sword!
How do you... With the crushing and the...
Yeah, I know. You know, you crush the Prudence to the sword.
Right, okay. He plowed into the soldier, and his left arm, taking hold of his sword.
This dude has a lot of sex.
And bounding to the dais supporting the prince before the startled guards could regain their composure. Agonovel leaped Grigner and his sire, but found a sword blade permeating the length of his ribs before he could loosed his weapon.
What?
Before he could loosed his weapon.
No, not that, the permeating.
The blade was, you know, permeating the rib cage.
It just kind of seeped into all of him. He is the sword.
This guy really hates vowels. Grigner? What was that name? Agafund?
Agafund, yeah.
Angafund? Grigner?
Permeate this.
The counselor slumped to his knees as Grigner slid his crimsoned blade from Agafund's rib cage. The fat prince stood undulating in insurmountable fear before the edge of the fiery maned comet. His flabs of jellied blubber pulsating to and fro in ripples of flowing terror.
You know, as a fat guy, I'm taking offense of how much like fat hate there is.
Jellied blubber pulsating?
Like,
I think I've eaten
like,
jellied blubber.
I'm sick of this thin privilege, okay?
I don't know what you're talking about, Hax.
Yeah.
Where is your wisdom and power now, your majesty? Growled Grigner. The prince went rigid as Grigner discerned.
I hear that happens when you die.
Yeah, he did. As Grigner discerned him glazing over his shoulder.
That fine red sauce.
It says glazing. This is not a misread. He swiveled to note the cause of the noble's attention, raised his sword over his head, and prepared to leash. A vicious... That doesn't mean what you think that means. He prepared to leash a vicious downward cleft, but fell short as the haft of a steel-rimmed pike clashed against his unguarded skull. Then blackness and solitude. Silence enshrouding and ever-peaceful... reigned, I think is what that word is supposed to be. Peaceful reigned supreme. Before me, sirrah. Before me as always. Ha 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 ha! Nobly cackled. Ha 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 ha! Ellipses. Nobly cackled. Chapter 3.
Are you ready, Brandon?
Oh, do I have to read? I normally don't read, so this is gonna be hard for me.
Yeah. We've been teaching him, but
this is Brandon from Nerdy Show. I'm just gonna read this.
Pika!
No, I'm not doing a Pikachu. Consciousness returned to Ringo. And Stigmatic Pool says... His name is now Ringo. In Stigmatic Pools, as his mind gradually cleared of the cobwebs cluttering its inner recesses, yet the Stygian cloud of charcoal ebony remained, an incompatible shield of blackness, enhanced by the bleak absence of sound. Ringo's muddled brain reeled from the shock of the blow he had received to the base of his skull. The events leading to his predicament were slow to filter back to him. He dickered. He dickered. Ooh, that's a real word?
Yes, that's a word.
He dickered with the notion that he was dead and had descended or sunk, however it may be, to the shadowed land beyond the aperture of the grave. Oh, he dickered. He dickered with the notion that was dead and he had descended or sunk, however it may be, to the shadowed land beyond the aperture of the grave. I think that's Scottish.
Scottish?
but rejected this hypothesis. I can't keep that up. When his memory sifted back within his grips. That whole paragraph was pretty much one sentence. Let me continue. This was not the land of the dead. It was something infinitely more precarious than anything the grave could offer. Death promised an infinity of peace, not the finite misery of an inactive life of confined torture, forever concealed from the life-bearing shafts of the beloved rising sun. Wait, I want to repeat that again, just so you understand. The life-bearing shafts of the beloved rising sun. The orb that had been before taken for granted, yet now cherished above all else. To be forever refused, further glimpses of the snow, capped summits of the land of his birth, never again to witness the thrill of plundering unexplored lands beyond the crest of a bleeding horizon. Someone's in my fucking light! Who's in my fucking light? Get out of my light.
Aziz, light!
Don't touch my horses. I don't know where my place was. Beyond the crest of a bleeding horizon, perhaps. And it says that, and perhaps, worst of all, the denial to ever again encompass the lustful excitement of caressing the naked curves of the body of a trim...
Yund? What's a yund wench? it's Y-O-U-N-D. Yund wench. The supple yund wench.
It's the singular of yund.
Supple yund wench.
This was indeed one of the buried chasms of hell. Concealed within the inner depths of the palace's despised interior, a fearful ebony chamber devised to drive to the brinks of insanity the minds of the unfortunately condemned through the inept solitude of a limbo of listless, dreary silence.
Wait, chapter 3.5?
Chapter 3.5. Chapter 0. It began before the incidents of Raccoon City. and then New Zealand entered the picture. A tightly drawn ellipse. No, I can't. All right, who's doing 3.5?
Hey,
use your New Zealand accent.
This is Laval. I'm the Nerdy Show live programming director. I don't know that I have the constitution to deal with this, but I do have a very powerful friend who deals with things like this.
Is his name Jesus?
What's his name?
No.
His name's Bad Jerk. All right, here we go. All right, everybody.
Your voice is going to hurt so much.
No, it's good. I talk like this for like 2.5 movies. A tightly rung elliptical circle, or torches, I don't fucking know, cast their wavering shafts, prancing morbidly over the smooth surface of a rectangular, rigid altar. Expertly drizzled forms of grotesque gargoyles grace the oblique rim, protuberating the length of the grim orifice of the death, staring forever ahead into the nothingness, complete ignorance. Hey, you shut the fuck up! I'm trying to read some porn. Bloody rites enacted in their presence. Brown flaking stains decorated the golden surface of the ridge surrounding the altar.
Brown flaking stains.
I'll fucking flake your fucking stains. The silt stood above a crudely pounded bale, which had several silver meshed chalices hanging at its sides. This is pretty good. Dangling at the rim of golden mallet, the handle of the witch was engraved with images of twisted faces, grooved at its fair ends with slots designed for a snug hand grip. What the fuck is this? Is this like an interior decorating manual?
Yeah, but a sexy one.
Yeah, this is like some Ra's al Ghul shit.
What do you think wrote it?
Call me Uncle. The head of the mallet was slightly larger than a clenched fist. Fist. And shaped into smoother oval mass. Is everybody else got a boner right now? Encircling the marble altar was a congregation of leering shaman. Is a shaman a shaman? What are we going with?
He's shaman!
I'm gonna go with semen. Eerie chants of a bygone age, originally in unknown eons, before the memory of man was words being uttered from the buried recesses of the Echolid's deeplings. Orange paint was smeared in a generous globules over the top of three illiterate sets through.
I don't know what that was.
What'd you guys?
HW.
This is fucking ridiculous. Priests, wrinkled, shaven scalps. This really is race uncle, isn't it? You know, his daughter's pretty hot, though. You know, it's a big deal. Dangling around their necks were oval-fashioned medallions held by thin gold chains, featuring in their centers blood-red rubies, in which they resembled crimson fetish eyeballs. Fetish.
You sound like what I imagine Gorilla Grodd would be.
You know, he's actually pretty alright, dude. I didn't want to say that, you know, like when I was, you know, actually like, you know, in the comics and shit, but now that I've been rebooted, I do what the fuck I want. Cushioning their bare feet with plush red felt slippers with pointed golden spikes projecting from their tips. You can't see right now, but I'm making a jerking off motion. Situated in front of the altar and directly adjacent to the copper pail was a massive jade idol. Misshaped, hideous bust of the seaman's pagan deity. Sorry, those shamans again. The shimmering green idol was placed in a sitting posture on an ornately carved golden throne raised above the divinity-plated dais. It was bulging its arms and webbed hands resting on the padded arms of the seat. Its head was entwined in golden snake-like coils hanging over its oblong ears, in which the tapered to thin hollow points.
He's having sex. Someone's stuck in traffic right now.
It's
they can't get out.
There is no escape. Their iPod is probably jammed.
They don't dare roll down their windows.
It's like that scene in
They're office. At a light, and the people next to them can hear kind of mumbling.
Their face is just over. Shaking.
I mean, there's no shut the fuck up while I'm reading this bestseller. I'm gonna crack some skulls.
It's available for free back there.
How's your voice doing?
I actually started choking on my beer. Dramatic beneath the nostrils was a twisted, shaggy-lipped mouth, giving impression of a slobbering, sadistic grimace. Like the fucking asshole who wrote this. At the foot of the heathen deity, a slender, pale-faced female, naked, but for golden jeweled harness, enshrouding her huge, outcropping breasts. Oh, this is getting good again.
Outcropping breasts?
Yeah, that's like, you know, when they sag and shit, but like the nipples are longer than the tits. It sounds like a cow. I got lost. Wait, her delicate lips trembled beneath soft, narrow hands as she attempted to conceal herself from the piercing stare of the epithelion idol. Going directly down towards her was the stony, cycloptic face of the bloated deity. Gaping from its single, oblong socket was scintillating many fair faucet, scarlet emerald, a brilliant gem was seeming to possess a life of its own. A priceless, gleaming stone capable of dominating the wealth of conquering empires. The eye.
Did you say cock ring empire?
Shut the fuck up.
I said cock ring empire.
That's what I heard.
I'm going to put a cock ring on your cock.
Thank you.
Fucking asshole. Okay. The eye of Argon. We got to the eye of Argon.
Is it over?
Finally.
Is it over?
You know who I wish was here to enjoy this, you guys? Rachel. She really liked this kind of crap.
Your parents, maybe?
Shut up, Doug. It's not funny, you asshole. Rachel.
This is Trench. All knowledge of measuring time had escaped Grigner. When a person is deprived of the sun, moon, and stars, he loses all conception of time? It seemed as if years had passed if time were being measured by the terms of misery and mental anguish. Yet he estimated that his stay had only been a few days in length. Really? He has slept 3 times and had been fed 5 times since his awakening in the crypt.
Who gives a shit?
You know what? I didn't listen about any of this.
However, when the actions of the body are restricted, its needs are also affected. The need for nourishment and slumber are directly proportional to the functions the body has performed.
I'm gonna kill myself.
All of a sudden, it's a scientific treatise.
Meaning that when free and active, Grignr may become hungry every 6 hours and witness the desire for sleep every 15 hours. Where in his present condition, he may encounter the need for food every 10 hours and the want for rest every 20 hours.
Back up, and do a Ben Stein voice, please.
We don't have time for that.
Is there a bar graph in there?
It's broken down into categories.
When he is sleeping.
All methods he had before depended upon were extinct in the dismal pit. Hence, he may have been imprisoned for 10 minutes or 10 years. He did not know, resulting in a disheartened emotion deep within his being.
What an idiot!
How fast was the train going?
Grignr's a fucking moron.
He's a barbarian, John.
He's a cow-fucking, saggy nipple-holding, pommel-thrusting idiot.
The food, if you can honor the moldering lumps of fetid mush to that extent, was borne to him by two guards who opened a portal at the top of his enclosure and shoved it to him in wooden bowls, retrieving the food and water bowls from his previous meal at the same time, after which they threw back the bolt on the iron latch and returned...
Blah, 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 blah.
And return to their other duties.
Oh my God.
Prince, how did you stumble onto the exposition?
I don't know.
This is how a man eats.
Sometimes I pee.
A day in the life. Subtitle. Sometimes I pee.
Why is that the funniest thing we've heard tonight?
Since deprived of all other means of nourishment, Grignr was impelled to eat the tainted slop in order to ward off... Impelled? In order to ward off the payings, it's not even pangs, it's payings, of starvation. Though as he stuffed it into his mouth with his filthy fingers and struggled to force it down his throat, he imagined it was that which had been spurned by the hounds stationed at various segments of the palace. There was little in the barren, that's not spelled right, vault that could occupy his body or mind. He had paced out the length and width of the enclosure time and time again and tested every granite slab which consisted of the walls of the prison in hopes of finding a hidden passage to freedom, all of which was to no avail other than to keep him busy and distract his mind from the wanderings to thoughts of what he believed was his future.
Like this fucking chapter.
Like, he can't even make up his mind on what he's doing. He can't tell how long he's been here. He's, like, looking for shit in this fucking cell. What the fuck?
He's just a big fucking... Am I really a chicken?
Did I really fuck a cow? He had memorized the number of strides from one end to the other of the cell and knew the exact number of slabs which made up the bleak dungeon.
He's just like...
Yeah.
There were 32 by 32 by 5.
Numerous schemes were introduced and alternately discarded in turn as they succored to unravel to him no means of escape which stood the slightest chance of success.
Yeah. This is a lot less sexy than the other chapter. Nothing is succulent, like rolling.
Anguish continued to mount as his means of occupation were rapidly exhausted. Suddenly, without no tithe, he was routed, as one word, from his contemplations as he detected a faint scratching sound at the end of the crypt opposite him. The sound seemed to be caused by something trying to scrape away at the granite blocks the floor of the enclosure consisted of, the sandy scratching of something like an animal claws. Grignr gradually groped his way to the other end of the vault.
Here we go.
The alliteration's back.
He's groping stones, though, so it's not really interesting.
Let him grope my stone.
It's getting real desperate, though.
Speak for Maybe not you.
Who's aroused?
All right. Not quite yet.
Hand check, everybody.
Oh, sorry about that.
They're all on my penis.
Carefully feeling his way along with his hands ahead of him, when a few inches from the wall, a loud, penetrating squeal...
Yes! Finally!
And the scampering of small padded feet reverberated from the walls of the roughly hewn chamber.
Yes. Exactly how to keep
Grignr threw his hands up to shield his face and flung himself backwards upon his buttocks. A fuzzy form bounded to his hairy chest, burying its talons in his flesh while gnashing towards his throat. Where the fuck did this thing come from? I mean, it was a... whatever. While gnashing towards his throat with its grinding white teeth. Why is that a semicolon? It's sour, fetid breath scorching the squirming barbarian's dilating nostrils.
We're back, guys.
We're back 100%.
Guys, we're back!
did it!
Grignr grappled with the lashing flexor muscles of the repugnant body of a gargantuan brown-hided rat.
I'm pretty sure what? Someone else wrote the beginning of this chapter.
Where did this rat come from?
We don't know.
Is this a random battle?
Yeah.
It was
organic.
It was a random encounter in the dungeon. Striving to hold its razor teeth from his juicy jugular.
You got a juicy jugular, shit.
As its beady gray organs of sight glazed into the flaring emeralds of its prey.
Its eyes?
Possibly, I mean, if that's what it means by beady gray organs.
Of sight.
All right. Sight organs. I'm LaForge from GBR, Ghostbusters Resurrection. Yep. All right, I'm going to try to do this straight face like a legit audiobook. Taking hold of the rodent around its lean, growling stomach with both hands, Grignr pried it from his crimson rent breast, removing small patches of flayed flesh from his chest in the motion between the squalid back claws of the starving beast. Holding the rodent at arm's length, he cupped his right hand over its frothing face, contracting his fingers into a vice-like fist over the quivering head. Retaining his grips on the rat, Grignr flexed out his outstretched arms, while slowly twisting his right hand clockwise and his left hand counterclockwise motion. That's exactly how that's written.
We know, you're doing it straight leg.
The rodent let out a tortured squall, drawing scarlet as it violently dug its foam-flecked fangs into the barbarian's sweating palm, causing his face to contort to an ugly grimace as he cursed beneath his breath.
Grimace and McDuggets.
With a loud crack, the rodent's head parted from its squirming torso, sending out a sprinkling shower of crimson gore and trailing a slimy string of disjointed vertebrae, snap trachea, esophagus, and jugular, disjointed hyoid bone, morose purpled stretched hide, and blood-seared muscles.
I can see this
the other writer's back. Did he go to, like, med school between chapters or some shit?
So I feel like he goes to the bathroom and his roommate starts writing. And then he comes back and he's like, where the fuck did all this come from?
I got work done while I was
This is getting a little dry. I gotta break out the encyclopedia.
Flinging the broken body to the floor, Grignr shook his blood-streaked hands and wiped them against his thigh until dry, then wiped the blood that had showered his face and from his eyes. Again sitting himself upon the jagged floor, he prepared to once more revamp his glum meditations. He told himself that as long as he still breathed the gust of life through his lungs, hope was not lost. He told himself this.
But he was wrong.
But found it hard to comprehend in his gloomy surroundings. Yet he was still alive. His bulging sinews at their peak of marvel. His struggling mind floating in a myriad of impressed excellence of thought. Plot after plot sifted through his mind in energetic contemplations.
He was all depressed at the beginning of this chapter. Then he killed a fucking rat and now he's all happy again.
He's bulging again.
He's a sociopath.
The rat is dead. It was really like 4 inches.
Then it hit him. Minutes may have passed in silent thought or days. He could not tell. But he stumbled at last upon a plan that he considered as holding a slight margin of plausibility.
Let me now swing the margin.
All barbarians calculate margin.
It was 1.25 inches, you know, from each side.
Risk assessment is the hallmark of barbarian.
Imagine, like,
barbarism.
Yeah. The time for talk is over. The time for margins and calculations is now.
What is best in life? To make a stem and leaf plot.
My 401k is impeccable!
You don't understand, I am very well invested.
He might die in the attempt, but he knew he would not submit without a final bloody struggle. It was not a foolproof plan, yet it built up a store of renewed vortexed energy in his overwrought soul. Though he might perish in the execution of the escape, he would still be escaping the life of infinite torture in store for him. Either way, he would still cheat the gloating prince of the suck-horrid revenge his sadistic mind craved so dearly. The guards would soon come to bear him off to the prince's buried mines of dread, giving him the sought-after opportunity to execute his newly formulated plan. Groping his way along the rough floor, Grignr finally found his tool in a pool of congealed gore, the carcass of the decapitated rodent, the tool that the very filth he had been sentenced to spawned. When the time came for action, he would have to be prepared. So he set himself to rending the sticky hulk in grim silence, searching by touch of his fingertips for the lever to freedom. Up to the altar and be done with it, wench. ordered a fidgeting shaman as he gave the female a grim stare, accompanied by the wrinkling of his lips to a mirthful grin of delight. The girl burst into a slow, steady whimper, stooping shakily to her knees and cringing woefully from the priest with both arms wound snake-like around the bulging jade shin rising before her scantily attired figure. Her face was redly inflamed from the salty flow of tears sprouting from her glassy, dilated eyeballs.
What?
How did we get from the prison to this?
With short, heavy footfalls.
Can you raise your inflection every time there's an adjective?
I'm trying to. Yeah. That's amazing. The priest approached the female, his piercing stare never wavering from her quivering young countenance. Halting before the terrified girl, he projected his arm outward and motioned her to arise with an upward movement of his hand. The girl's whimpering increased slightly, and she sunk closer to the floor rather than arising. The flickering torches outlined her trim build with a weird, ornate glow as it cast a ghostly shadow, dancing in horrid waves of splendor over smoothly worn whiteness of the marble-hewn altar.
All right, this is Pool from GBR, Ghostbusters Resurrection, and I'm going to try and pass this off to one of my friends from the internet. Hey, everybody. This is the home star water. The shaman's lips curled back farther, exposing a set of blackened, decaying molars which transformed his slovenly grin into a wide, greasy arc of sadistic mirth, and alternately interposed into a female, a strong sensation of stomach curdling nausea. This is pretty good. Have it as you will, female. Gloated the enhanced priest as he bent over at the waist, projecting its ape-like arms forward and clasping the female's slender arms with his hairy wild fist. With an inward surge of his biceps, he harshly jerked the trembling girl to her feet and smothered her with salty wet cheeks with the moldy touch of his decrepit, dull red lips. The vile stench of the shaman's hard-fetted breath overcame the nauseated female with a deep, soul-searing sickness, causing her to wedge her head backwards and regurgitate a slimy, orange-white stream of swelling gore over the richly woven purple robe of the attuned acolyte. The priest's lips trembled with a malicious rage as he removed his callous paws from the girl's arms and replaced him with tightly around her undulating neck, shaking her violently to and fro.
To and fro, everybody.
The girl gasped a tortured groan from her cramped lungs, her sea blue eyes bulging forth from damp sockets. Cocking her right foot backwards, she leashed it desperately outwards from the sweat of a demon possessed, lodging her sandaled foot squarely between the shaman's testicles.
Not
what it says?
Yes.
That's between them, betwixt. Very narrow foot.
Great. That's the best way to go.
The sergeant priest released her crushing grip, quipping his body over the waist, overlooking his recessed belly.
That's the last time you mess with the wedged foot wench.
Wide open in a deep chasm, his feet flushed to a rose-red shade of crimson, eyelids fluttering wide and the eyeballs protruding blindly outwards from their sockets to their outmost perimeters.
How did Trench get the most boring character?
I'm sorry, Trench, really. Of all the ones you could have gotten.
While her lips quivered wildly about allowing an agonizing wallow to gush forth as his breath billowing from burning lungs, his hands reached out clutching his urinary gland as his knees wobbled rapidly about for a few seconds, then buckled, causing the raptured shaman to collapse in an egg-huddled mash to the granite pavement, rolling helplessly about in agony.
Hey, I haven't read yet.
Oh, Four from Derby Show. Hey.
Oh man, I'm really sad I missed out on the urinary gland. Anyways, I'm Bor from Derpy Show, and I'm gonna read this horrible thing. The pathetic screeches of the shaman groveling in dejected misery upon the hand-hewn granite-laid pavement, worn smooth by the...
Hewn granite.
Hewn granite.
That's the budget Hugh Grant.
It's the Flintstones Hugh Grant. Yeah, exactly. Worn smooth by the countless hours of arduous sweat and toil, a welter of ichor oozing through his clenched hands attracted the perturbed attention of his comrades through their fetid ululations. The actions of this rebellious wench bespoke the credence of an unheard of sacrilege.
Yep, that's the one.
Okay. Never before in a lost maze of untold eons had a chosen one dared to demonstrate such blasphemy in the face of the cult's idolic deity.
Is this the same story?
The girl cowered in unreasoning terror, helpless in the face of an emblazoned acolyte's rage. Semicolon. Her orchid tussled face smothered betwixt her bulging bosom. As she shut her curled lashed tightly, hoping... What?
Yep, it's a broken sentence.
Tightly hoping to open them and find herself awakening from a morbid nightmare. And when, so for some reason, there's no... It's lowercase. Yet the hand of destiny decreed her no such mercy. The antagonized pack of leering shaman converging tensely upon her prostrate form were entangled all too lividly in the grim web of reality. Are we even halfway through this?
Oh my god.
We are not halfway through this.
Oh god.
I think this needs to be.
Alright.
Fire.
I haven't actually read the story yet.
Oh, that's true.
Get your urinary glands ready.
All right. Shuddering from the clammy touch of the shaman as they grappled with her supple form, hands wrenching at her slender arms and legs in all directions, her bare body being molested in the midst of a labyrinth of orange smudges, purpled stain and mangled skulls shadowed in an eerie crimson glow. Her confused head reeled, then clouded in a mist of enshrouding ebony as she lapsed beneath the protective sheet of unconsciousness to land in a peach and resign.
To land peach and resign.
What's a land peach? Is it next to growing trees?
Is it next to the prostate farm?
It is next to the prostate farm. All right, Cap. Present.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cap from Nerdy Show. Yeah.
Thanks for the intro, Tony.
Wait. Oh. I heard Galda.
Take hold of this rope, said the first soldier, and climb from your pit, slut. Your presence is requested in another far deeper hellhole. Gringer slipped his right hand to his thigh, concealing a small opaque object beneath the folds of the G-string wrapped around his waist. Brine wells swelled in Gringer's cold, jade-squinted eyes, which groaned and accustomed to the gloom of the Stygian pools of ebony engulfing him, were bedazzled and blinded by the flickering radiance cast forth by the second soldier's resin torch.
They had bedazzling back then. I thought that was nice.
They sure did.
But they had G-strings.
A bedazzled G-string. Mine says Gelda, but then it fades in the crotch. Tightly gripped in the second soldier's right hand, opposite the intermittent torch, was a large double-edged axe, a long leather-wound oaken handheld just fixing the center of the weapon's iron head. Adorning the torsos of both of the sentries were a thin yet sturdy hauberks, the breastplates of which were woven tightly hemmed twines of reinforced silver braiding. Cupped the soldiers' feet were thick leather sandals wound about their shins to 2 inches below their knees, which is legal if you're in a Catholic school. Wrapped about their waists were wide satin girdles with slender braided peonids dangling loosely from them, which is how I like my peonids.
It's the only way to have a peonid, really.
The hilts of which were featured scarlet-encrusted gems. Resting upon the manes of their heads and reaching midway to their brows were smooth copper mirrors. Spiraling to the lower portion of the helm were short, upcurved silver spikes, while a golden hump spired from the top of each bassinet.
Is this a cake?
I just can't listen to it.
beneath their chins, wound around their necks, and draped their clad shoulders dangled regal purple satin cloaks, which flowed midway to the soldiers' feet. They then strutted their way on the dance floor with the white phosphorus bulbs flashing and the techno music playing as they showed out the Galdap's new fall lineup of God Clothes 2012. Hand over hand, feet braced against the dank walls of the enclosure, the huge gringa ascended from the moldering depths of forlorn abyss. He swelled limbs, stiff, due to the boredom of timeless inactivity, compounded by the musty atmosphere and jagged granite protuberant against his body, caved for action. The opportunity now presented itself. It self-served the purpose of oiling his rusty joints, if you know what I mean, and honing his dulled senses.
Wait, so he's a robot chicken.
I gotta go home and oil my joints.
He just got lubricated.
He's a robot chicken now.
He braced himself.
Seth Green was empty for that.
Facing the second soldier, the sentry's stature was wildly exaggerated in the glare of the flickering crescent cupex in his right fist. His eyes were wide over and slightly slanted owlish gaze, enhancing the...
Wait a minute, hold on, though. How can you be slanted and owlish?
Enhancing their sinister intensity by the hawk-bill curve of his nose and pale yellow peak of his cheeks.
Birdman. Okay, we are back to racist now.
That was really good.
Place your hands behind your back, said the second soldier as he raised his axe over his right shoulder blade and cast it in a wavering glance. We must bind your wrists and parry any attempts at escape. Be sure to make the knot a stout one, Brigog. You wouldn't want our guests to take any leave of our guidance. Oh, before I'm
sure he hears why we're doing what we're doing.
Browig, grasp Gringo's left...
Browig.
No, what's going on, Browig?
Come at me, Browig.
Come at me, Browig. No, I'm going to read this while it's on fire.
All right, fire.
It's a little... Whoa, easy. That'll work. It's a little incentive here.
Brigog grasps Grinder's left wrist and reached for the barbarian's right wrist. Gringa wrenched his right arm free and swiveled to face Brigog. Reached beneath his loincloth with his right hand, the sentry grappled at his girdle for the sheathed dagger, but recoiled short of his intentions as Gringa's right arm swept to his gorge.
The story's getting hot.
The soldier went limp. His bobbing eyes rolling beneath the fluttering eyelids, a deep welt across his sprouting gullet. Without lingering to observe the results of his efforts, Gringa dropped to his knees. The second soldier's axe cleft over Gringa's head in a blaze of silvered ferocity, severing several scarlet locks from his scalp. Coming in to rest his fellow's stomach, the iron head crashed and through the mail and flesh with splintering force, spilling a pool of crimson entrails over the granite paving. I can take it no more, fellows.
I think we're done.
Do you want to roast it?
There are several pages left, and so I cast it like the Midnight Society into the flames. Here we are now. Goodbye. Goodbye. This is the sound. This is the sound of the Eye of Argon being thrown into the fire, and marshmallows roasting atop of it.
It's how it should be properly enjoyed, really.
There needs to be some wieners in there. It'd only be appropriate.
Well, let me put mine in.
That's beautiful.
If you like what you heard, please support us at nerdyshow.com/Patreon.
And see a doctor, for God's sake.
At least if you made it through this, you're probably going to want to consult a specialist. The Eye of Argon has been known to create many, many tormented visions.
Or your local retro friend.
And really droopy nipples.
Really, really droopy nipples.
Saggy.
You might now be a cow.
If this episode tickled your funny bone, you haven't listened to Friday Night Fan Fiction, you may want to enjoy Friday Night Fan Fiction, where they read stuff this bad but about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Worse.
We're going to go trek down some land peaches, but thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time, next week, for something absolutely not even remotely similar to this.
Don't eat the marshmallows roasted by the Eye of Argon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Nerdy Show.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can also subscribe to us via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show on all of your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
I'm gonna go walk on the sunshine.